Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Triune God, through your word and your spirit, bring to our remembrance all that you would teach us. Especially bring to our remembrance that Jesus is risen and we shall arise. In his name we pray. Some of you may remember Dave Moore. He was married to Renita Moore, who teaches at St. James Lutheran School, and he died of cancer in 2004. Before he died, I had an experience that I haven't had since, nor did I have it before that. The end was nearing, and I got a call to go to the hospital in the middle of the night. And when I got there, there were a number of family members in the room. And Dave looked at me and he said, "Pastor, if you were dying, what passage would you read to your family?" I'll share later with you the passage I shared that night, but I'm not sure I was ready for that question. And one of the titles that I almost gave this sermon is Famous Last Words. And I couldn't help but think of Luther's words, "We are beggars, this is true." And that's certainly reflected in today's gospel when the leper said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Our last words are significant. They focus on what's important. They focus on what we want for those left behind, and they focus on what we want those left behind to remember. In 2 Timothy, is Paul's final letter, he says to Timothy, "I am being poured out like a drink offering." That means Paul knows that his life is coming to an end. So it's clear as he writes to this young pastor, Timothy, that he's sorting out and passing on what it is that really matters. And at the top of the list, the one thing that Paul wants Timothy to remember, he says, is remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Put yourself in Paul's place. Would you be willing to suffer like Paul? Would you be willing to go to jail and put in chains? Would you be willing to be treated as a criminal? Would you be willing to be sentenced to death? Would you be willing to endure all of that to be faithful to the task of spreading the gospel? What difference does it make in your life and mine that Jesus is risen? What is it that strengthens you? What is it that excites you? What is it that comforts you? What is it that would lead you to pass on the good news so that others might hear it? In the words of our text, what is it that would lead you to suffer as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? What is it that would lead you to work hard as a farmer or compete as an athlete? Why would Paul go to jail and allow himself to be sentenced to death? All he had to do was stop preaching about a risen Christ. All he had to do was be quiet. Why was Paul willing to be stoned and left for dead, robbed, whipped, beaten, times without number? Why? Because Paul had one commanding officer, but more specifically, because Christ is risen. The good news of Jesus' resurrection triumphed all the bad news in Paul's life, even death itself. And the risen Christ is the reason why Paul did what he did and said what he said. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, there's no point to any of this. But Jesus is alive. And so Paul himself will serve as a good soldier, an athlete, a hard worker, a laborer. Because Jesus Christ is risen, Paul is willing to be imprisoned and chained for the advancement of the gospel. Paul is faithful to his task because God is faithful. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Let us reference today's gospel. How many people ask, "Lord, have mercy on us"? And how often do people return thanks? God was faithful when Adam and Eve sinned and brought death. He was faithful when his people were unfaithful in the wilderness. He was faithful when they went after other gods and were carried into captivity. Jesus was faithful when his disciples betrayed him, forsook him, and denied him. He was faithful before Pilate. He was faithful when he was spit upon, whipped, crowned with thorns, and nailed to a cross. And it is because of his faithfulness that we are forgiven. If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter how unfaithful we have been, no matter what we have done, no matter how self-centered we have been, the good news is that Christ Jesus died for sinners, the worst of them. And the good news is that he was raised on the third day so that we will be found not guilty. Where is there any comfort at the point of death? I suggest to you that the resurrection of Christ is a game changer. And it made all the difference in Paul's living and in his dying. And in our baptism, we were connected to the death and resurrection of Christ. Our baptism is a game changer. No matter how many stress factors arise in your life, no matter how many people may desert you, no matter how alone you feel, no matter how unloved you feel, I'm here to tell you that God is faithful. And if there's anything that Satan wants you to forget, it's that Christ is risen and that God is faithful. But what is it that Satan wants you to remember? He wants you to remember your sins. Well, let's back up a minute. Could the church ever forget Jesus Christ? Well, Moses warned the people before they went in the promised land, be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God. And they did. Could the church actually forget Jesus Christ? It's happened in history. That's why we celebrate the Reformation later this month. The church forgot Jesus Christ and replaced him with indulgences, good works, and relics. Could the church and we ourselves truly forget Jesus Christ? You can find churches today that have replaced Jesus with positive thinking, political activism, or simply by promising prosperity. I am preaching to the choir here, but we need to hear it as well. Remember Jesus Christ, offspring of David. Jesus was true man, descendant of David, born of the Virgin Mary. He was the man God commanded us to be and are not. He never sinned, yet he was put to death for our sin. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Paul was on death row. Death was near. Death was inevitable. But he knew that Jesus Christ has dealt with our death, that he is victorious, alive, and preparing a place for us. The devil was active in Paul's life and in ours, trying to get us to remember our sins. And 1 Timothy makes clear that as Paul sat in a prison cell, he reviewed his life. Satan said, "Paul, remember hearing those dying gasps and seeing the tears of those Christians you persecuted, the ones you watched as they were stoned to death? Paul, remember, you have blood on your hands." In writing in 1 Timothy, Paul said, "I was a murderer, a persecutor of the church of God, a blasphemer." But as death draws near, that is not what Paul remembers. He remembers Jesus Christ. Looking back on our lives, can we say that our life has been a history of loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Can we say that our life is a history of loving our neighbor as ourselves? No, Satan works in your life and mine as well, saying, "Remember? Remember when you said that? Remember when you did that?" Now, what are you going to do about it? And that is why God gave Paul these words. Remember Jesus Christ. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Once again today, you are invited to the Lord's Supper, where Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Sin is a constant struggle. Satan won't let us forget. But Paul has an antidote. Let your first words in the morning and your last words in the evening be, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead." Those words alone will comfort you, give you peace. They will lead you to compete as a good soldier, to work hard like a farmer, and give you confidence that God is indeed faithful. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, keep constantly in our minds the great work of the death and resurrection of Christ and the salvation you have accomplished for us. May his death and resurrection be the one part of our history we never forget. In his name.